Benvenuti a Welcome to My Mind con Alessandro.
Salve a tutti e bentornati a Welcome to My Mind. Non volevo abbandonarvi senza puntata questo fine settimana, nonostante la situazione generale stia rimando contro di me, perché settimana prossima ho i parziali, e ho da studiare, comunque non avevo troppo tempo da dedicare al podcast, però mi sono inventato una cosa interessante. Adesso sto registrando in residenza dal microfono delle cuffie, perché non ho tempo di andare in radio, di mettermi a settare tutto quanto per poter registrare, quindi prendete l'audio a questa volta un pochino più bruttino, ma secondo me il contenuto è interessante. Sono qui oggi per portarvi un'intervista che dura 6 minuti e mezzo, quindi abbastanza breve, ad un artista che ho apprezzato molto e che apprezzo molto. È il bassista dei Muse, Chris Wollstone. Nome impronunciabile su più fronti, comunque è proprio lui. Ho avuto la possibilità di intervistarlo con Radio Bocconi e non me ne sono pentito, perché è stata veramente un'esperienza incredibile. Sono stato al Mandarin Hotel di Milano, invitato appunto dalla Warner, che è l'etichetta discografica che si occupa dei Muse, e ho parlato con questo big della musica mondiale. E quindi adesso vi andrò a riportare appunto questa intervista. Il problema è che mi sono un po' è in inglese, quindi se capite l'inglese bene, se no è un problema. Però l'altro problema è che ho incespicato spesso nel parlare, e ho anche inventato neologismi, credo, perché appunto ero veramente agitato e era una cosa veramente importante per me. Quindi mettetevi nei miei panni, era come parlare con un dio della musica, ed è qualcosa di che non succede tutti i giorni. Quindi io non vi rubo altro tempo, vi ringrazio anche questa domenica per essere passati e vi lascio all'intervista. A presto.
Hello, I am Alessandro from Radio Bocconi and we are here with Chris. So, hi Chris, and you are one of the three members of Muse, am I right?
You are right.
Yeah, great. And so I'm here to speak with you a little bit about your new album that's called Simulation Theory. So it's quite an interesting name, you know? Mm. Like, why did you choose Simulation Theory, and why the cover is so similar to Blade Runner? I think it's really similar to Blade Runner.
Well, I think when we listened to some of the early songs that were recorded for the album, we were, I guess, quite influenced by some more 80s sounding things, you know. And I guess when it came to then sort of thinking about some of the visual aspects of the album, that, you know, we started thinking about, you know, our earliest exposure to music, which was in the 80s growing up, and our early exposure to film in the 80s. And, you know, all of the films that we all still love, you know, they all seem to be from the 80s, you know. And I think that it's such a strong kind of visual thing attached to the 80s films, because I guess, you know, both in music and film, it was a decade of kind of an explosion of technology. You know, with music you had synthesizers and drum machines, and all of a sudden music took on this whole new dimension. And I think films did as well, because all of a sudden you had all these films with special effects, and you know, it was a very kind of groundbreaking time for both, you know. And I guess a lot of the memories that we have of our childhood are associated with that time. So it was a good thing for us to kind of tune into a little bit. But in terms of the album title, I mean, I think a lot of, you know, obviously the whole simulation theory thing talks about the fact that we don't really live in reality, and we are, I don't know, perhaps little pieces of code in a computer or something like that, and that everything around it is simulated. And I think that there's probably more truth in that than we want to believe at the moment, you know, because it does appear that most people spend most of their lives in some sort of technology as opposed to actually living in the real world, you know.
So yeah, it's like we are living in a matrix in a way.
Yeah, I think I mean, you know, that was a film that I think kind of touched on that nearly 20 years ago now. So I think I don't think I'd go as far as to say that we live in a matrix, but I think that we definitely don't. We don't all live our lives to the fullest in the real world. That's for sure.
Okay, thank you. So I listened to the the songs we can listen to now. So, for example, Pressures, Something Human, etc. So there are a lot of different sounds inside. Okay, as you told, there are a lot of technological sounds, sounds like tech music and this type. But there are also, for example, the dark side, a really muse music.
Yeah.
So something like connected to the past in a way.
I think it's all connected to the past to some degree. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a Muse record, you know. And I don't know. I don't really know what makes us Muse. You know, I think every band that has ever existed has something about them that makes them unique. You know, whether it's the way that you play your instrument or the way that a vocalist sounds, you know. So I think that, you know, when people listen to the record, they will still hear it as a Muse record. I don't think it's so wildly different that people will not recognise us. But I think with most of our albums, we've always tried to draw influences from unusual places. You know, when you play in a rock band or a guitar band, there are, you know, quite often, you know, a set of limitations that you have to work within, because there's only three of us and there's three instruments. So I think we kind of realized that even as far back as the first album. You know, when we made the first album, we tried to kind of throw the limitations of being a three-piece rock band out of the window. And we always felt that when we were making a record, it was okay to, you know, do other things. It was okay to use keyboards or use other instruments on top of what we did to make the record as good as it could be. And I think that's something that with each album we've kind of explored more and more. So although, you know, from a live perspective, when people see us live, they will see a three-piece band. Obviously we have Morgan who plays keyboards, so it's kind of a four-piece live really. But on the record, you know, we've always felt like we should be free to do what we want and not kind of restrict ourselves to the amount of people that we are or the instruments that we play. And whether that means trying to learn how to play other instruments sometimes, or how to learn how to use the new technology, or to bring other people in, you know, other producers, other musicians, you know, these are things that we've always been really, really open to. And I think on this album in particular, you know, we've got choirs, we've got, you know, brass sections, you know, there's all sorts in there. And, you know, we've always been quite interested in trying to blend different types of music together. So you have a lot of, you know, these 80s sounds and 80s feelings, but kind of blended with something that isn't very 80s at all, you know, which kind of goes towards creating something a little bit new and interesting, you know. So I think that's what we always try to do.
So in a way, the sounds of the 80s with something new, something fresh, something maybe we didn't heard in the past albums, in a way. So connected to that, your last albums was Drones, sorry. And how much of that album we are gonna see in this new simulation theory?
I think Drones is probably the one album we've done that is an exception to the rule, which if anything was probably, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I think was probably a step back, you know. I think when we made that album, we made a conscious decision to kind of strip away a lot of the additional elements that had crept into the music. So there was very little in terms of orchestras or anything like that. You know, there wasn't really much going on electronically on that album. And we stripped it back very much to being a three-piece rock band. So I think if there's any album that we've ever done that had a more sort of retrospective feel, it was probably that album. Which is probably why this album, we didn't want to do that again, you know, and we felt that we, you know, we've already done one album where we've maybe taken a step backwards. And I still think Drones is a great album and there's some really, really great songs on there. But, you know, we've never really wanted to repeat ourselves, and, you know, it felt like, you know, we needed to step into some new ground and try something new.
So we can say that Drones was like a little deviation from your pattern of, from your way, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like the way we did Drones was how we probably would have recorded an album before Showbiz, even, you know, in terms of just the three of us getting in in a room together and trying to perform as much of the album live. You know, it was all very much about the instruments that we played, you know, guitar, bass and drums. And it was, you know, it was a great album to make. And, you know, Mutt Lange was awesome to work with. And, you know, it was definitely an album that we were very proud of. But we just didn't want to do that again. That was all, you know. And, you know, there's always new things to explore. You know, there's always different types of music to incorporate within what we do. And that's what we try to do.
Yeah, so speaking a little bit about of the thing that made you guys think about this new album, because okay, the 80s, okay, the music of your maybe of your times in a way, but there was something different. I don't know, like a book or I don't know, a movie or something that made you okay, this is what we want to do.
I don't think we really thought of this album in that way, because we, when we started making this album, it wasn't even an album. You know, when we were finishing the tour for Drones, we were talking a lot about what was next and whether we were even going to make an album at all. You know, we definitely talked a lot about how people listen to music now and how much the industry's changed, and talked a lot about, you know, an album, you know, and does an album even have any relevance anymore, because a lot of people don't listen to albums. You know, people listen to songs, people listen to playlists, people have a lot more options at their fingertips than they did 20 years ago. So I think particularly for younger people now, you know, a lot of people don't want to or don't have the attention span to listen to an entire album of the same artist. And I don't think that's a bad thing, you know. I think it allows people to explore lots of different artists and different musical ideas and things that people wouldn't have had access to 20 years ago. But, you know, we're still kind of, or certainly 5 years ago, people still seem to be stuck in this idea of kind of making an album in the traditional way, which I found quite amazing, because the industry had changed so much, but people were kind of still resisting against the changes. So, you know, initially we talked about maybe not even having an album, and that we would just release a series of songs. And that was the approach that we took, certainly for the first 6 months after Drones was made, was that we, yeah, every 2 or 3 months we would go into the studio and we'd record a song. You know, we released Dig Down nearly 2 years ago, you know. Something Human was recorded even before that, you know. And then it was only really later on that we felt that maybe we could do a little bit of both, you know, where we could have this idea of releasing a series of songs, and maybe the album kind of came at the end, you know. It was just a different way of doing it. So people who still have, you know, an attachment to an album still get an album and can see it as a body of work, but people who want to listen to it as individual songs get that whole thing of getting a new song every 3 or 4 or 5 months or whatever. But in the future, who knows, you know, maybe the next album won't be an album, maybe it will just be 12 individual songs that we release, and maybe you could do that over a 10-year period where you just release a new song every 2 or 3 months and that you don't do an album. And I could certainly see it going that way, because, you know, obviously we've kind of lived through the changes, so there are still people, I guess, you know, my age and above, who like albums, who like to still buy a CD and put the album in and look at the cover and read it. But the reality is that in 40 years' time, you know, 40 or 50 year old people will have grown up with streaming and won't really have any attachment to an album at all. It won't mean anything to them.
Okay, thank you. And speaking about a little bit of your show in Milan, you will come in Milan with the tour of Simulation Theory, and if I'm right, we're gonna see you in the final of X Factor. X Factor Italy, is that true?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, that should be quite an interesting thing to do, you know. It's I don't think we've really done anything like that before, and you know, I've always found the whole X Factor thing, you know, and all of that kind of more reality-based stuff that, you know, I guess has been around for quite a while now, but it's, you know, it's still the music industry, but it's a very different side of the music industry to the one that we're in, you know. But, you know, I think for us, you know, things like, you know, things like the X Factor, you know, you still have to find ways of exposing yourself to people who haven't heard you before. And by doing a show like that, there will be people who watch that show who haven't got a clue who Muse are, you know. And I think that kind of thing always excites us. It's why we used to love playing festivals so much in the early days, because you kind of have 60,000 people there who don't know who you are. And you always think, well, out of those 60,000 people, that might be 20 who might really like it, you know. And that's all about how you kind of, you know, I guess, build up the fan base of the band. And, you know, you can turn people onto your music. And I think now you have to do it in other ways. You know, you can do it through having your music on video games or in films or things like that. And, you know, for us, playing on the X Factor will be, it'd be something we've not done before. And I'm sure it'll be great fun, you know.
Okay, Chris, thank you for that. And it was a pleasure for me.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, thanks.